God. You have TV shows, Hollywood Medium and Beverly Hills Medium, and different people talking about they talking to the dead and they seeking the Lord through these other means. In the New Testament, Saul tried to seek the Lord that way. He went up and tried to call the witch of Endor and tried to discern what's going on with God. And so even in New Testament, in the Old Testament, there were people that would seek the Lord using astrology. Over in Isaiah, we'll go back to Isaiah chapter 8. Look at Isaiah chapter 8. And verse 19, God counseled them and warned the people about seeking the Lord in those ways. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19, he said, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek their God for the living to the dead?" So are we going to go and we got, because God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. So what are you trying to go talk to the dead to find God? The dead know nothing. And the other thing that you realize from Ecclesiastes, the dead know nothing on this side. Once you're gone, you're in another dimension. They don't know what's going on over here. A lot of people like to think that. A lot of people get to funerals and times say, "Oh, I know she's looking down on me. Oh, I know he's here. I can feel him. He's guiding me." That's a nice sentiment to say, but that's not true. That's not scripture. Scripture said they're in a different realm. They're in a different, the dead know nothing over here. They're gone. They're removed. They're not, I'm sorry, you may feel that way. I just feel my mama's presence. I feel she looking at, she's in another realm. Your mama don't even know what's going on. Good if you do, and some people think that's motivation for them to do good because my mama's looking at, well, that might encourage you to do good, but she's not looking at you. She don't know what you're doing over here. She's gone. She's out of this dimension. You're in this dimension. She's in a different realm. She's alive in a different realm, and she don't know what you're doing over here, your mom and all them. But people want to seek God, and God is living, but we want to seek him through the dead, having seances and having all these type of things, going through mediums and consulting these mediums to seek God. We need to see God clearly through his word. His word tells us about him, and so we need to seek him. So the implication is it is sufficient to seek God, that is sufficient to seek God alone, but it's an offense when God's word and his spirit are treated as inadequate for guidance of his creatures. Seeking God means steering clear of astrologers, fortune tellers, psychics, seances, mediums, channeling Ouija boards, and other efforts to tap spiritual or psychic powers not prescribed in God's word. You want to try to find out what's going on? Let me read my sign. Let me see what my sign says to tell me what's going on tomorrow. And a lot of people believe in that. They subscribe to that believer. And sometimes some of us as Christians, "I'm Gemini. What my sign say? What my sign say?" You better worry about what God has to say about your sign, and you looking at the stars, and somebody came up with all these astrological signs and stars, and we subscribe to that. Hey, that's my personality. I'm a Gemini, and I'm this sign and star, and we do all of that stuff. But God said we seek him. We're not looking for those type of things to give us some kind of insight, to give us some kind of glimpse into what's going on spiritually. We shouldn't be looking for those type of things. Seek the Lord while he may be found means consult him. Turn aside from these age-old counterfeits and divine counts. All them things out there, them people are counterfeits. They're counterfeits. They're not false. If you get into it, a lot of these people that come in there, "I can just feel that, what's his name? Arnold." Yeah, his name was Arnold. And they'll sit there. They know how to read you. And really, when you look at the questions, they're really actually fishing the stuff from you. And you give it to them, and like they confirm it, and they keep going on. They're good at it. They're professionals. They've been doing it. They know how to read you. They know how to come in. They know how to get enough information and carry this little thing. And because you so desperately want to answer and you want to hear something, you just sitting there waiting. "Oh, yeah, I think she got him. I think she's talking to him." They're not talking to him. They're not talking to him. You cannot. Those people don't have the power to talk to the dead no more than you do. They can't talk to the dead because the dead don't know anything. They're not here on this realm. And you can't conduct and be talking to spirits on the dead. The only one that could do that was Jesus when he was here, that could raise the dead and could talk to the spirits. It said that Jesus, when he left, he preached to the spirits that were in prison during the time of Noah. But we can't talk to spirits. That's not what he gave. He didn't give us that. But people will portray that and get you to know something about God. "I can tell you about God. I can tell you your future."
God can't even tell you your future, except you obey his word. He can tell, now, he's not telling you your future prospectively, each one of you, but he can tell you what your future is if you don't obey him. See, the word of God will tell you what your future is. If you don't obey, you don't subscribe, then it tells you what your future is. But what you're going to do tomorrow, but all of us are looking for some edge in life, but we have to steer clear of those things and seek the Lord. We also have to turn to him for rescue from his own anger. To seek the Lord means to turn to him for deliverance from his own anger. Do you know that the Lord is mad at the unrighteous every day? He's mad at the unrighteous every day. And I preached a lesson on knowing God and knowing his ways from Exodus 33. In that, after the Lord, after Moses was up communing with the Lord, he gave him the Ten Commandments, and he came down, discovered the people had Aaron build an altar and was having sexual immorality and partying, just feasting and banqueting. And Moses got upset and threw those tablets down and made them drink that. And we find that the Lord got so angry that the Lord said that he was not going to go with the people on the rest of the journey to the promised land. He said, he told Moses, I'm not going to go. He said, I'll still protect you. I'll still provide for you, but you're not going to have my presence. I'm not going to go. And Moses had to talk the Lord into, Lord, these are your people. You told me to take them out. And the Lord had to talk them into going. And the reason why the Lord said he didn't want to go with them, because the Lord said he was so angry that he might consume them in the way. That if the Lord would have went with them on the journey, the way he was feeling at that time, that his anger was so kindled that he might just consume them on the way. That's how mad the Lord was. Because we can relate to that. Sometimes when our children have gotten to us and we like, you just need to go somewhere. I don't want to look at you right now. You just need to go in the room. You need to close the door and give me some space and let me cool down. And see, that's what the Lord was. The Lord said, if I'll go, I will consume you in the way. So we have to turn to him so that we can rescue ourselves from his anger. The Syrians were on the east of the Israelites and the Philistines on the west, ready to devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, God's anger is not turned away and his hand is stretched out still. The people did not turn to him who smote them, nor seek the Lord of hosts. That's in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 12 and 13. You had one group of people on one side and another group of people on the other side. They were ready to devour them. But the people inside, the inhabitants inside the city, they were still running around delusional, thinking, oh, God ain't going to punish us. Oh, God ain't going to get us. But you got these two armies. The prophets are saying, you got them over here. And the Lord's just saying, turn. If you would return to me, the Lord would have saved them. But they wouldn't do it, because they were so hard-hearted to think that God wouldn't, his anger wouldn't be kindled against them and destroy them. Israel did not turn to God who struck them or seek the Lord of hosts, but they should have. Why? Why should anyone turn to God who is smiting? Why should we turn to a God who's angry at us? See, a lot of people don't understand. They, oh, God is just loving. God wouldn't do this. God, oh, yeah. When somebody says that to you, you say, God is angry at the wicked every day. He's angry. He's so angry, God is foaming at the mouth. He's just fierce. His anger is fierce. He's foaming at the mouth. Yes, God is love, but he's angry. He don't like the righteous. He don't like the unrighteous. He don't like the wicked. And so he's angry with them every day. We need to turn to a God who is like that so that we can save ourselves from being in that predicament, that his anger will be turned on us. If we don't turn to the Lord, if we don't come to the Lord and seek the Lord, that wrath, we will feel it. We will feel it one day. The biblical answer is very simple. The only reason why God smites is because we turn our back on him and seek our own satisfaction where it can never be found, and that's in sin. That's why God smites us, is because we turn away from him. That's why he was getting these folks in Isaiah chapter 55. That's why he's telling them to turn, to come back. That's why he was inviting them to come to this feast and to come and drink wine and drink water, and I'll give you milk and I'll satisfy you. I'll give you everything you need and it won't cost you any money. But they were still looking for ways to satisfy themselves that never could really pay them. They were spending their money on ways to satisfy themselves, and they couldn't be satisfied. And so we, like them, we seek our own satisfaction where it can never be found in sin. So it's not hard to understand then that we seek the Lord. While we seek the Lord, what we are doing is seeking refuge in God from the wrath of God.
I don't think it's possible to fully seek the Lord until we come to terms with the justice of his anger for our sins. We have to seek his face to escape his fury. Until you understand God's justice, until you understand his wrath, that's why you want to seek him, because you want to avoid that wrath. You want to avoid that justice. You don't want to get caught up in your own ways and forget to seek the Lord, or else you're going to see that wrath from him. We also seek the Lord. We're asking for his guidance and trusting in it. We're asking for his guidance and trusting in it. To seek the Lord means that we ask for his guidance and we put our trust in that rather than our own human strength and wisdom. How many times in life have you put your strength in what you wanted to do? Your own strength, your own wisdom. And the thing is, life will remind us, time and circumstance will remind us that we're not that strong. We come up with some injuries. When you get some injuries, don't it take you down and you realize, I ain't as strong as I thought I was. You get some injuries and you start saying, what is this? I don't know what this is. You know, we grow up and most of the time there's something we can fix. We put a Band-Aid on it. You try to take some, try to take some aspirin, and that seems to fix it, and we keep going on. But as we get older, guess what? You start getting some stuff that can't be fixed with aspirins. You got some stuff you couldn't put a Band-Aid on, and you got some stuff, and you like, you looking, what's wrong with my leg? You can't see it. Guess what? You got to go to a doctor. They got to do some x-rays and some exams and stuff to see what's going on inside your body. And it lets you know about your own mortality. There's some stuff you can't fix. We need to seek the Lord and seek his guidance and put our trust in him, than our own strength, our own wisdom. Sometimes we seek our own ways. We go about doing things our own ways. We need to seek the Lord's ways. Isaiah 31 and 1, it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult, or literally seek the Lord. See, in Isaiah, early in 31, the Lord had told them to trust in him and that he would be their God and he would protect them. Well, they didn't listen. They didn't listen. They were trying to deal with the folks, with the Syrians in the north, and the Lord said, just come back to me. I'll take care of you. Well, the Syrians were threatening them in the north. They didn't listen to God. They didn't listen to the prophet. They went down to Egypt and said, well, we'll get the strength of Egypt. We'll get the Egyptians to come help us. And so the Egyptians did come help them and keep the Syrians off of them, but then the Egyptians turned around and charged them tribute. And now they had to pay tribute to the Egyptians. And God said, you should have just trusted me. Why did you go down there and make a league and a bargain with the Egyptians, and then they turned around and start charging you for protection when you could have came to me? That's what happened to us all the time. Every time we do things our own way, you end up, guess what? When you do things on your way, don't you end up paying more than what you should have paid? Don't it cost you more than you were supposed to pay? Don't it take you longer than you should have stayed? Because you didn't do it the Lord's way. If you would have done the Lord's way, if you had nipped some things in the bud, you wouldn't be paying this cost. But because you didn't do it his way, you didn't even seek his face. You didn't even talk to the Lord about it. You just went on your own way. You went on your own strength. You went on your own wisdom. You tried to think you was as smart as God, or that you were smarter than God. Or you just really forgot about God. And you just made that decision on your own. And now that decision takes you down the road, costs you more than what you should pay, takes you longer than you should stay, keeps you in trap. And now you're just like, man, if I could just get back and do it all over again, I would talk to the Lord. But now it's too late for that time. But the next time you will want to talk to the Lord and consult the Lord. How many times have we faced decisions and made them with the quick reckoning of our own resources, but not seek the Lord's counsel at all? Seeking the Lord means pausing before a decision and looking expectantly to God in your heart, waiting to see how he might lead you. Wait to see. The scripture said we have to wait. Isaiah said, I waited patiently on the Lord and I inclined unto him and he heard my calling. You might have to wait. But see, we live in a time we want instant answers. Lord, what you want to do? Lord, I got the decision. I need it right now because I'm making this decision tomorrow. You might need to hold off and wait. You need to wait. And then the Lord will kind of, you see some things and the Lord like, okay, Lord, I think you lead me in this direction. But see, you don't want to give the Lord no time. You want it right now. You want to make your decision right now instead of waiting on the Lord. and seeking God and talking to God. But see, the thing is, you know you've been trying to make this decision for a long time, but then right before you're supposed to make it, now you want to go talk to God. Well, how come you didn't start when you first start entertaining this thought? Back in this formation state, that's when you should have been talking to God all along the way. So by the time this thing was supposed to come to fruition and you got to make that decision, maybe the Lord be done showed you what you're supposed to do. But you put that off and you made all them plans and then you almost get down to the point where it's about to happen. Now you come to the brothers. Oh, brother, I got a decision. I need y'all to pray for me. And now you won't see God at the last minute. And you want God to come through. God, come through and show me. But you didn't start talking to him when you start thinking about this thing. When you started to formulate it, when it was starting to come on your mind, when it first started, you should have started talking to God right then. So by the time you get to the place where the rubber meets the road and now you got to make a decision, now the Lord then be able to put something on your heart, maybe some, and see, the thing is, the Lord uses so many different things and methods to get to you. Because maybe you know how the Lord be talking to you? Maybe you would have heard a sermon. And a sermon would have said, wow, I needed to hear that. How many times you heard a sermon and that sermon said, man, that spoke right to the issue I was dealing with. How many times you been talking to another brother and sister and they shared something with you and you talk to them about the situation and that brother and sister speak right into your heart. They don't know your situation, but they speak and say something. You go like, wow, that's just what I needed. Guess what? That's God. That's God. He's working through the brothers and sisters. He's working through the ministers. But you got to give it time to work. And so all them things, and by the time you get that, guess what? Your thing starts to get straightened out and reckoned out, and you go, oh, I don't need to do this. I need to do that. Well, that's God been working with you. But see, you don't want to wait and come up at the last minute and start praying all fervently, Lord, show me this. But you don't want to give time, the time for the Lord to bring people in your life and to blow in your life like a wind. The Lord will blow into your life. It'll be a wind. It'll, Brother Wendell, if it's a good thing, guess what? It'll be a tailwind. It'll blow you on into what you need to do. Now, Wendell, if it's something you shouldn't do, it's going to be a headwind. It's going to be, you're going to get a lot of resistance. You're going to get some blowback, and you go like, oh, I don't think I should do that. That's the Lord giving you a headwind, and he's blowing you back. And when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he gave Nicodemus this example because Nicodemus didn't understand, how can I be born again? Because Jesus told him he had to be born again of the water and the spirit. And Jesus told him the spirit listeth and goes where it will. The spirit is like the wind. And you can't see it, but you can see its effects. How many of that windstorm came in the night? You couldn't see it, but Dalsho, didn't you hear it? Yes. Did you hear it? Wasn't it beating on your house? And then the next morning, we got up and turned on the news and seen trees turned over and seen people's houses and new power lines and that. Didn't the wind do its work? But we didn't see it, but we heard it and we saw its effect. Jesus said, that's what the Spirit's like. This is the wind goes where it is. You can hear it, but you can't see it, but it does its work. So the Spirit does that. The God's Spirit will blow into your life. It will either blow you in the right direction or it will blow you back and keep you from going there. But you got to give the Lord some time for it to work. Don't come to him tomorrow, today, about something you want tomorrow. Because he may not have time for a sermon to be preached or for somebody to speak into your life or for some circumstances to help you to shape your mind. But if you give some time, you seeking God every day about everything you need in your life, then God got some time to work in your life and give you some answers and help you get the right way. To seek the Lord means to call upon him. To forsake ways and thoughts that dishonor him, to consult him instead of the occult and counterfeits of divine revelation, to turn to God for rescue so that you don't face his own anger and wrath, and to ask for guidance and to put our trust in him rather than in human strength. Now, when we're going back to these things and we pray together about them, at the end we'll see why we should seek the Lord. And number two, our second point is, why should you want to seek the Lord? The first reason why you want to seek the Lord is because our thoughts are not his thoughts. We look at our thoughts versus God, our thoughts and ways versus God's. You should want to seek the Lord because until you seek the Lord, your ways and his ways, your thoughts and his thoughts are as far apart as heaven and earth. That's why you want to seek him, because God said, you don't think like me, I don't think like you. Your ways are not anywhere near my ways, and your thoughts are nowhere near my thoughts. That's why you won't seek me, because you want to get rid of it. That's why he said, first of all, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous, what? Their thoughts. And let them come to me, because why? My thoughts and your thoughts are not the same. My thoughts are way up here, as far as the heavens are from the earth. My thoughts and your ways and your thoughts are different from my thoughts. That's why you won't seek the Lord, because he's not like us. God is like, Psalm said, God is not a man that he's like us. So he has some ways that are far above us, that far past comprehension. But see, a lot of times we won't take God's way because we don't, God, what you doing? I just don't see what God is doing. You don't have to see what God's doing. Just do what God wants you to do. Just trust God. God just says, trust me. Don't we sing that song that by and by that we'll understand it better? What? He didn't say you understand it better now. It's by and by you'll understand it better. You keep on doing, you keep on going. And a lot of times, when do you understand things better? When you get down the road and you look back and you go, oh, that's why you took me this way instead of that way. You may not know it while he's taking you on the road, but when you get down the road and you see that he done took you around a lot of mess that everybody else was going through, he done took you around and delivered you another way, and you say, okay, Lord, I see why you was taking me this way. I see why you was leading me this way. I see why you wanted me to go this way, because I avoided that over there. That's why you do it. And so by and by, we'll understand it better. By and by, because the Lord's ways are not our ways. Most of the time we look at verse 8 and we quote this out of context. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We often this quoted to show that some circumstances that puzzle us is no puzzle to God. His ways are higher than our ways. That, of course, is wonderfully true, but it misses the point of the text. Why does verse 8 talk about the thoughts and ways of God? Because verse 8 said that the thoughts and ways of men are evil. And unless we relate our thoughts and ways of God in verse 8 with the thoughts and ways of God in verse 7, we'll miss the sense of the passage and what God wants us to do. We want to turn, because God is simply saying that your thoughts and ways are wicked. Your thoughts are way, your thoughts are unrighteous, and your ways are wicked. So he said, let the unrighteous man forsake his ways, and let the wicked man forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So verse 7, he's saying, your ways are wicked, and your thoughts are unrighteous. That's why you want to consult and seek the Lord, because your ways are no good. But my ways are good, because my ways are so what? So that's why he says my ways are so much higher than your ways, because they're not yours, because yours are wicked. Remember back in Genesis, God repented that he made man, because every thought on man's mind was what? Evil continually. Evil continually. So we need to look to the Lord, because our ways and his ways are not the same. Our thoughts are evil. In verse 3 of this chapter, God promises that if we hear his voice and come to him, seek him, call upon him, return to him, he will make us an everlasting covenant. And we learn from Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Paul that this covenant is not a covenant of the latter written in stone, but a covenant of the Spirit, and is written on our hearts. In other words, when you seek the Lord, you find pardon from the worst sins you have ever committed. And that pardon is so abundant, you are given a parole officer called the Holy Spirit. Not like any parole officer you have ever imagined, because he protects and helps and guides and brings you to the fullest life possible. And on top of that, he is the most wonderful person to be with in the whole world. You have a parole officer. The Lord is going to pardon you. And then he sends the Holy Spirit to be your parole officer to help guide you. Now, see, when you get a P.O., we call them that. We call them a P.O. You get your P.O. and you got to respond. You what? Can you go out of town without calling your P.O.? Can you leave the state? Don't they come check up on you, make sure you got a job and doing right? That's the Holy Spirit. He's your parole officer. God has pardoned you and then got you out of jail and kept you from destruction. Now the Holy Spirit is going to keep you in line. The Holy Spirit is going to check you. The Holy Spirit is going to make sure that you're living according to the word. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit as your parole officer can't work unless you what? In the word of God. If you outside the word of God, then the Spirit, he can't deal with you. But once you're in the Spirit can act like a parole officer. And when you start to get out of line, then the P.O. be like, uh-oh, you can't do that. Uh-oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't think about that. You shouldn't listen to that, because that'll be God's word coming back to you saying that. So we need the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us. There's just one last reason that we want to mention for us to why we should seek God, and that's the nearness of God in this moment. You should want to seek the Lord today because he is near at this moment, and he may be found, as it says in verse 6. Seek the Lord, what? While he may be found, call on him while he is here. There's a window of opportunity, and you don't know when it will shut. It's open this morning, it's open this afternoon. We know it because the word of God is being heard, and the Spirit is here to answer any prayers. We look at, in life, we look at companies, we look at teams. You know, we all got our favorite teams, and we talk about all the time, their window of opportunity to win. Brother Mahone, though, we look at these teams, and like, they got a window of opportunity, meaning what? They got the talent. They got all the people they need. They got the right coaches. They got the right players, and they got that window. But guess what? That window shuts quick. Somebody, Steph Curry, broke his hand. Window closed. Somebody, coach don't have the right coach. Window closed. Your opportunity to win is not there because you don't have all the ingredients. So right now, the Lord is saying, seek him while you can find him. That means he's on the shelves at the store. Call on him while he's here. You have a window of opportunity right now. The window's open. You can call him because you're still alive. You're able to hear the word. But tomorrow, that window might be... Because you wait, you fold your hands in death tonight, that window's closed. Or you get into a situation, you get in an accident, and now you're in the hospital. You didn't obey the Lord. Now you're in the hospital, and we can't even move you. Even if you wanted to obey, we can't even move you to get you to the water. And there's some people right now. There's some people, there's some families that I'm looking at right now have gone through that. They just looked at a loved one who struggled and was on the way out, and they died. And you couldn't get them in that water. Couldn't get them here. Guess what? Window closed. But for us, while we're sitting here, the window is open, the window of opportunity. So we're going, so as we close today, we're going to look very seriously at the line of verse 6. Call upon him while it is near. Everybody in this room needs to call upon the Lord to seek the Lord right now while he can be found. Some need to call on him for salvation. As Romans 10:13 says, anyone that calls upon whoever, so for whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some need to call on him for help in overcoming some evil way or some unrighteous thought. And some of us need to call on him for counsel and guidance, whatever it is. If you need to call on the Lord because you need some counsel, you got some decisions, you got some heavy things that you weighing down and some heavy burdens that you're dealing with, then you need to call on the Lord and get some help for counsel. Lord, I need some counsel. I need some wisdom. And then when you sit back and let the Lord work, keep praying, keep persevering, and that counsel and wisdom will come to you. It'll come to you in some ways you don't expect it. It'll come to you. You'll be in church and you hear some sermons. You'll talk to the brother and you'll hear some stuff. Some counsel will come to you. Can't you just get counsel just looking at life? Don't we look at life and see some misfortunes, and don't that counsel us? When you look at life and you see some messed up things out there, you're like, man, I don't want to go that way. I won't do that. That's God counseling you when he shows you and allows you to see those things. God told all those parables to do what? To counsel people. He showed you all these bad stories and all these negative examples. What? To counsel you not to go that way, to live another way. So you're going to get some counsel from all kinds of sources. Just looking at life, observing some people. There might be some people that are walking right next to you, close to you. People on your job you might observe, and you see their way and see how they go that way. And that counsels you like, ooh, let me stay over here on the path to righteousness. So you're going to get some counsel if you need guidance. If you need salvation, you need to seek the Lord so that you can be saved. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then you can come back and you can confess of your sins, and you can repent, and you can turn, and you can be baptized, and you can be in Christ, where you can now continue to seek the Lord as a child of God. Now, if you're walking in sin, then you need to seek the Lord because you do not want to run into his wrath. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an awesome God. It's a terrible thing to fall in his hands. And now while you're here, while the blood's running warm in your vein, while the window's open, don't leave here with sin and things in your life. Go ahead and take care of that because we don't know if that window is shutting. We don't know if the window is shutting. It might be wide. And the thing is, in life, we don't know how wide the window is. Is it way up? Is it halfway? Or your window might be right here, and you don't know. Your window might be that far. Remember Brother Don Blackwell?
was doing a gospel meeting, went out to enjoy a day with his wife and on a four-wheeler, and his windows could have closed on that day. But luckily, he was alive. He doesn't have the full use of his body, but he's still alive. And if you see Brother Blackwell, we showed his video, he's so thankful for the life he has. Even though he mourns the lack of the use of his body, he mourns some things that he lost, but he's so grateful to be alive.
Because that window could have closed. And he could have been out of here.
And then it would have been up to a righteous God that if he lived according to God as a gospel minister, that God would bless him and save him. So we don't know where that window is, and that's the eerie thing about life. You don't know where you are with the window. We can't look at somebody and just say, well, just because Brother Paul is old, he's closer to the window. Brother Paul may have another 20 years. Some of us younger folks might go, but Brother Paul go. Can't make no assumptions just because Brother Paul is maybe a little upper in age than we are, Brother Paul. If it's up to the Lord may bless him, and that window may still be open for Brother Paul. But some of us that are younger and think we got it going on, window could close next week. The thing is, we just don't know. That's why we need to seek the Lord, so we don't run into his wrath, so we can get instruction, so God can guide us, so God can lead us, and God can bless us. And as the first part of I said, we can get all those blessings. We'll preach that another time, those first two verses, first three verses, where he told us to come and to eat and do all of this. We'll preach that another time. But you want all those blessings that God has promised us, but you got to be seeking the Lord. We hope and trust and pray that somehow this will touch you, that you'll think upon your way, and that you'll use this lesson, and that you'll share with us. We talking about in our Bible class this morning, there might be some others that need to be admonished. Take these words and admonish them. Hey, you need to seek the Lord. There might be some people outside of Christ, some people in your life, some people you've been called to go home and call them and say, seek the Lord. Your window is closing. You better seek him. You better find him. And they may not want to hear it. They may hang up in your face. You get at the family reunion. They try to duck you. Keep telling them to seek the Lord. Keep telling them. Because when they get in the judgment, they can't say, well, John didn't tell me. He was at the family reunion. He was at the cookout. John never said nothing to me. Oh, yes, John did. And now you're going to be subject, because Jesus said, the words that I've spoken, them same words will judge you in the last day. So now they are without excuse, because you admonished them, you told them, you tried to instruct them on seeking the Lord. This morning, this afternoon, if you're subject to the invitation, the way you need to come back, you need to go for prayers, you need to ask for forgiveness to strengthen you so that you can continue to seek the Lord, seek his face and peace, and commune with the Lord. You can do this so this afternoon as we together stand and sing.
Will you be free from the burden of sin?